You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 10:59 a.m. Next up, at 11, we have The Dirtbag.
KBOO Community Radio is working with Beautiful Portland to collect socks and blankets for those who are sleeping outside this winter. There is a collection box in the lobby of KBOO Radio, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, between Burnside and Ankeny. Donations are accepted Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
KBOO's membership drive, Love Beyond Borders, is coming up February 13th to 15th. Help us get a head start on reaching our goal. Just click the banner on the app and support KBOO today.
Well, we've reached the second Wednesday of the month of February. It's time for The Dirtbag. Good morning. Glenn Andreessen here beside you now until 12 noon. And Jim Gilbert is beside me.
Good morning,
Glenn. Right over there. Fresh back from
Los Angeles, but before that, Germany and Switzerland.
Righto.
Right.
Well, we've got a first-time occurrence here, I think, in that we've got a busy show, as usual, and we have our garden stumper at half past the hour. But for the first time ever, we have a prize, and hopefully going forward, we will have this prize every month. And the first person who correctly answers our garden stumper at half past the hour will be entitled to, they don't have to cash in, I guess, a free sharpening of a garden hand tool. And this includes pruners, loppers, shears, shovels, hose.
Grafting knife?
I suppose grafting knife would count there. He didn't write that down there, but this is at Coley Farm Store.
Cool.
Farmer Ted is volunteering and supporting The Dirtbag. And that is in Northeast Portland. I'll give you the address later. Well, I'll give it to you now. 4209 Northeast Alberta Street. Mm-hmm. So listen for that. It's kind of a two-part show today. We've got grafting. It's time for grafting. And I think we might even throw in a little pruning in there, too, since it's time for that. And a little bit of seed starting. It's time to start getting serious about starting seeds, and some can be started now. Very few could be put outside now. Some could, but that's February.
It is February. I mean, sometimes the weather makes me think it's something other.
Yes, February. And along those lines is the theme of our musical selections today, the month of February. Mm. And in its three shapes, at least that I have here today. So hopefully we'll get to all those.
And Glenn, before we get too far into this, after our last show, I was intrigued by, I think, the question, how long have we been doing this? So I went back,
right.
And because I don't erase emails, which much to the chagrin of others, I went back to see where we first started talking about doing this show together, and that was in the summer of 2009. So that means we've been doing this for over 10 years, which is kind of crazy.
You know, it's gone through several different iterations and different days too, I believe. My mind is so hazy.
I think we started you had a half hour show and then
I had a half hour show at 9:30 or something like that, and then on a Monday, and then it may have gone to 10 on a Wednesday.
Pretty sure that when I joined you, I mean, then we went to an hour,
Yeah, it might have been.
And I, you know, of course, I don't. I seems like I've been coming here on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock for as long as there's been a world.
Well, 10, 11, or 12. You don't come that many times, but I mean, you're here when you're in town.
Yeah, which is 95% of the time. Don't you think? I mean,
you probably miss at least one a year.
Yeah.
So that would be less than 90%.
Yeah.
Because they only do 12.
Lorraine asked me the other day, did we record one?
Several times.
At least once. Huh?
We did that when I couldn't be here in August.
Right.
And I remember a couple of them that we had people in.
Yeah, and then there was a question, are any of these archived? Could people go back and look at 2015 or something? And
You can listen in. I don't know how far back they go.
Yeah. Interesting, huh? Well, anyway, congratulations.
Yes, thank you. We're here into our second decade now, at least.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, as they say, time flies like the wind, but fruit flies like bananas.
You know, I never heard them say that.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're kind of secretive sometimes.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I'll try to get in touch with them the next time I have a chance.
All right. Well, this is the time that we would normally start talking about events
and
happening.
And there is one big one coming up.
And indeed, there's lots of things that are happening.
Yeah.
I know the Home and Garden Show is still happening at the Expo Center, I believe. Mm-hmm. Later, I think it's not this weekend, but next weekend, or some days before that, too. But neither of us are involved with those anymore.
You know, when I had the retail business, that was like part of my life, you know, were these garden shows. And now I haven't been to the Home and Garden Show in a long time.
Yeah.
And of course, fun to do it.
The Yard, Garden, and Patio Show went belly up two or three, maybe more years ago now.
There's a couple of nice ones in Eugene that I used to go to. And one in January and one in March. And I think it's possibly something like the Home and Garden Show for the second one. But anyway, they're both fun and they're free to get into, which is kind of fun.
It's different than here.
Yeah.
And the big event that you're speaking of, I believe, would be the Home Orchard Society's
Fruit Propagation Fair.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming up
15th of March.
Okay, so we'll have another show before then and we can hit it madly then.
Put it on your calendar, folks, because if you like to be around fruitarians or fruit nuts, there you'll find them, and it's a great place to get cyanwood and get some and even get a something grafted to take home.
Is it a 1 day or 2 day affair? I cannot remember.
1 day.
Okay.
On Sunday, March 15th.
All right.
Free parking in the beautiful city of Canby, Oregon.
Yep.
The Clackamas County Fairgrounds.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that then.
Then, yes.
Yeah, it's okay. Now, if you do have gardening questions, this is the number, 503-231-8187. That will also be the number that you will call to answer the stumper. And this is going to be tricky. We'll have to talk about this during the first musical break, won't we, Jim?
Sure.
Because we're going to talk about rootstock. Can we talk about rootstock without giving away the stumper?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
Then we'll dive right into rootstock.
Right.
Just to by way of getting everybody up to the same spot here so we know what we're talking about when we're talking about rootstock. When we're talking about grafting, there's two parts, the upper part and the lower part. We're going to talk about, first of all, the lower part, the rootstock. That's, the root part of it.
Yeah,
so why do we need a rootstock, Jim?
Well, the bigger question is, why do we need to graft?
Well, that's that could be too.
Yeah. So
I thought of a garden stumper that we're not going to use, but what is it, figs, olives, and something else have in common?
Hmm.
We don't graft those generally.
There's that for sure. Yeah, and so some plants you can root. You can take a cutting and stick it in the ground or in a pot or something, and under the right conditions it will form roots and become a happy little plant without any other effort on your part.
Many plants will do that.
Many plants will do that.
And that's how we get more plants.
That's right. And in the fruiting plant category, that's somewhat limited. I mean, there's, you know, but if you, like, you know, kiwis are another one that does that. Seaberry, we do from cuttings. Honeyberry. And currants, actually, figs. Actually, really a lot. Yeah, of course, figs
and olives.
Yeah, figs and olives, and
so these are ones that we don't graft,
right? So others like apples and pears and peaches and plums and cherries and most of those kind of hard, larger fruit tree types, they don't root easily, if at all.
Well, why wouldn't we just plant a seed?
That's a really good question. That would be a good one for another garden stumper, but because we're talking about it today, we can explain that.
Yeah.
Right. Well, because just like with people, you know, when you put a mother and father together, in this case, a male pollen and the female part of the flower together, you have a very big range of what you're going to get, and that comes out in the seed. So the seed that when you plant a seed, you might get the most delicious apple ever found in the world.
Deliciouser than what you had hoped.
Right.
Or that came from the parent.
But the 99.9% chance is that you're probably not going to get that. And who knows? And that's what's fun, too. I mean,
let me ask this question. These days, do some experimenters do that? Or do they... Like this newest apple, the
Cosmic Crisp,
which had known parentage, and they deliberately cross-pollinated certain ones to get that. So how many will just plant out 1,000 seeds and see what they get?
Well,
that would be expensive and time-consuming.
Generally speaking, plant breeders make controlled crosses.
Okay.
So you, in some cases, it's complicated because you have to emasculate the flower so that it doesn't pollinate itself. In other cases, mm-hmm. with apples, they are not typically self-pollinated, so you can pollinate it with pollen from another variety, and then get a controlled cross. So then the seeds that you plant from that have a better chance of combining the characteristics of those two parents.
Uh-huh,
if you just plant open pollinated seed, you know, who knows where the bee came from to drop that pollen on there.
So in the case of Cosmic Crisp, what may have happened is they did this controlled cross pollination, and then they planted the seeds.
Yes.
Because they couldn't take a cutting from any of those parent plants, because then you would have gotten the parent plant.
The parent plant, right.
So they may have had several seeds that germinated to choose from before they came up with Cosmic Crisp.
Right.
I mean, one of the seeds may have been Cosmic Crap.
Probably more than one.
Okay. Yeah. So
and oftentimes it's quite a few more. I mean, you plant a lot of seeds. The breeding is a game of numbers. So the more you have to choose from, the better chances you are of getting something good.
Okay. But that was diverted there, but to give you our listeners a little bit of background about
why do we graft, right?
Oh, right, and not just plant a seed.
Right. So we graft because we want to duplicate the plant that we like. So if we had the opportunity to do it, to create a Cosmic Crisp, which we don't because they've kept that one's pretty much under wraps, but let's say Honey Crisp, which is a really delicious, I think a really good apple.
Which, by the way, used to be under wraps, but not anymore.
That's right.
Its patent has expired.
And I think that it's a parent of
Yes,
Cosmic
Crisp. I believe that's the case. Yeah.
So it's a really good apple, nice texture, good flavor, and actually grows well here in our environment. If you want to have your own Honey Crisp at home and you don't want to buy it from a nursery, or you have some other apple that your grandfather grew and you really like, the only way to make more of that variety is to take a piece of wood from it and graft it onto a rootstock.
Okay, that brings us back now to rootstock.
Right.
And that also brings up our dirtbag dictionary term for this month, which is compatible.
Compatibility or compatible, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So we can't just have any type of rootstock. It has to be, here's that word, compatible.
That's right.
With the scion wood, which is the upper part or the type that we want to, you know, we very rarely refer to it as cloning, but that's essentially what is happening when you cut off a piece of wood from your grandpa's apple tree and graft it onto the rootstock, because it's the exact molecular and DNA.
Right.
Copy.
You make a copy of it, and you're sort of borrowing the roots to support that copy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And you can make millions if you have the wherewithal and the space of that one thing. Like, so a Red Delicious apple, which is probably one of the most widely propagated ones in the world, every Red Delicious apple that's a real Red Delicious, I mean, there are sports of Red Delicious that have been developed since the original one was found.
But sport being kind of a mutation,
Right. Yeah. And they have ones that get red earlier or something. Mm-hmm. But if you just take a Red Delicious and you think about how many those there are in the world that have been, you know, passed from country to country and person to person, and they're all the same tree.
And it works, because it doesn't have to be from the parent tree, because the offspring, the scion, if you will, are the exact copy of that.
Right.
So you can have copies of copies of copies of copies of copies, and it's still identical to the original, unless there's a mutation, like you say, and which we in the business call a sport.
Yep.
Which is what happened when for other plants besides apples or anything.
Sure.
For example, in Michael Pollan's, one of his earlier books, The Botany of Desire, he talked about just four plants, and one of those was tulips. And so there's, whatever.
Yeah.
Sports.
Right. So we have to have a rootstock if we want to make more apple trees.
And it has to be compatible with the scion wood. So there are many different fruits. So what does that mean?
Yeah.
Many different rootstocks.
Yeah, and there's closer compatibility and further compatibility, and further away, like a totally unacceptable rootstock for apple would be peach.
And it would, you can do the grafting, but they would reject each other, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, you might get a tiny bit of growth on it, but once it recognizes that, that it's just not going to work. And some people, some people have had some success, not long-term success, like using pear for apple, but that's not a good match. You want to, for apple, generally speaking, you use apple. There are some experiments done with some other relatives. Recently, I heard about using aronia, for example, as a rootstock for pear, and also amelanchier. There's some experiments being done with that as a rootstock.
I don't even know what that is.
Pardon me?
I don't even know what that is.
Serviceberry, another name for it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But the because apple is such an important commercial crop, the primary work done with apple is creating dwarfing rootstocks, because as some of the listeners may have, as we used to have, a tree that was planted 50, 60, 70 years ago or older in a yard oftentimes is grown on a seedling rootstock. So you plant an apple seed and then you
grew someplace.
Then you graft your desired variety on that seedling, and by doing so you get eventually a very big tree.
Even if you hadn't grafted, the seedling often is big too.
That's right.
Yeah,
the seedling itself would get big. So it's just a seedling apple has the maximum amount of growth potential. It's not dwarfing that; it's a full size apple tree, and so they're hard to prune and hard to pick, and generally not desired for most uses anymore.
So when one goes to buy a fruit tree or graft it, they need to know what their rootstock is.
And that's oftentimes difficult information to gather from a lot of places. That's why when we started One Green World, that was our goal, was to identify for people the rootstock that you're getting, and then you can say, okay, this is an M7, or that's a type of dwarfing rootstock. You know, it's going to make what we call a semi-dwarf tree, so it'll be 12 to 16 feet approximately in height at maturity. The word dwarf and semi-dwarf is used way too liberally.
Yeah, there's no
without definition of what that really means.
And a dwarf apple will be much shorter than a dwarf pear. It's just by the nature of the apples and pears, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, there are more available dwarfing rootstocks for apples than pears. But if you went to a nursery and they said, "Oh, this is a dwarf apple," and they didn't say anything more about it, you don't know for sure what that means.
Yeah. Are you going to have a 10-foot tree or a 16-foot tree? And it makes a difference inside city limits.
So it's important if you can find that information, and we can talk more about those numbers and the rootstocks that are commonly used, for apples.
Okay, well, that's kind of our plant of the month, their rootstock, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come to the garden stumper time.
Okay.
But first, our first musical break. Ty is in there. He's got them queued up, I believe. Yes, he does. Yeah. Okay. Well, all of these have to do with February. All the tunes have to do with February. Now, T.S. Eliot wrote a poem that, to paraphrase, that April is the cruelest month. Not for gardeners. I would argue that February is the cruelest month for gardeners because, the days are getting longer, but it's not getting a lot warmer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does, but not, just a lot. So anyway, cruel. That's what we're going to start with here today.
Okay.
And our first selection is from Calexico. Indeed. I believe their first album, maybe. Anyway, this is Cruel.
Cruel, cruel grounds leak truths never found. Torturous waves whisper from the grave. Slow spun song of distortion.
There we are. Cruel. February might be the cruelest month for gardeners. That's just what I'm going with. My apologies to T.S. Eliot. Okay, well, we talked about the rootstock, and the previous month we talked about scionwood collecting. Your grandpa's tree, you cut some little branches, have them in the refrigerator now. Now it's this month and maybe early into next month. It's time for grafting. If you haven't already done it, you could do it.
It's a little, I would consider it to be a little bit early yet.
But to graft?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been warm, but then today it was pretty darn cold. So, I mean, at least when I came home last night from Los Angeles, it was certainly cold.
Well, you are used to Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know. I wore shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And I thought, this is not appropriate. So just quickly to reiterate the collection of scionwood part, which is most important, and it's still possible to do that with most of the fruiting plants right now. You want to collect one-year-old wood that grew last year. Pencil size typically is what's used. Not something super, super big, but really thin little stuff isn't going to work so well either. And get it quick because you want to get it before the buds start to push. And then you then put it in the fridge in a plastic bag. And one of the dangers of doing that is you put too much water in. You want to keep it moist, but you don't want it like sopping wet. So what I do is I'll take a Ziploc bag. I'll put the scionwood in the bag. I'll take my fingers underneath the tap water. I'll put some water on my fingers, and I'll throw that water into the bag and seal it. And that's
all.
That's all. No wet towel wrapped in, because those things, the wood will rot after a while. If uh-huh. It's just too wet.
Just and it's cold, so they're not going to be trying to grow in dark. So
that's right. So they'll be okay, and they'll be they'll stay dormant for a month or two easily.
Okay.
So then, I typically March is when we do our grafting. And that's when the fruit propagation fair is, of course. So,
yes.
So you take that nice little piece of wood that you've cut off that tree, and you have your rootstock. And if depending upon you can do what's called bench grafting, which is let's just talk about apples because it's pretty simple.
Sure.
And they're probably about the easiest.
Yeah.
Fruit tree.
If you're new to grafting, start with an apple.
Start with an apple, and the technique of grafting, of course, with a sharp knife, requires some caution. And I would definitely get some instruction from somebody before flailing away. that's another reason to go to the fruit propagation fair, because you can learn about it there, or you can find a friend or contact the Home Orchard Society and get some information about it. But essentially, then you've got a rootstock which you can purchase from nurseries like One Green World, it's essentially a rooted cutting, and depending upon what kind of rooting cutting it is, it'll have a lot of roots or not very many, but with apples typically they don't have a lot of roots on them, they're kind of just a few, doesn't take a lot. And then you make a, what I typically do is what's called a whip and tongue graft. So you make a slanting cut on the rootstock and make a little notch, kind of notch, not really a slit in that cut, about a third of the way down. And then you do the same thing with the scion wood.
Kind of an angled cut.
Angled cut.
So the idea is when we put them together, they're going to match up the edges.
The cut should be about the same length. And, of course, before you do this with your precious one scion from your grandfather's tree that you no longer can get anymore from, practice on something else. Practice on just cut some small parts off of another tree that's not important and start practicing making cuts. And then you fit those two pieces together.
And before you make any of the slanted cuts, you might want to superimpose one on another to see that they are about the same diameter.
Yeah.
It's very helpful if that's the case. It's not entirely
essential,
but it helps a lot.
Yeah. Right. So then you fit the two pieces together, if they are exactly the same diameter, you're home free. If they aren't, and typically the scion would be a little smaller possibly than the rootstock, then you want to make sure you match one side. So you slide the scion over so that it matches the cambium layer, so on the both cambium layers match on one side of the rootstock.
The cambium layer, you might think of it as the little green layer of the tree right below the bark.
Mm-hmm.
And between the bark and the whitish, the woody part.
Yeah, and the cambium typically in a scion and a rootstock is more white than green. When you actually look at it, it doesn't. But you want to if you match so that the bark of both of them are smooth together, you're probably pretty darn close.
Right.
And the cuts, if they're the same length approximately, they should match up well. Then you wrap that assembly, and you can wrap them. There's different things to wrap with. You can simply use masking tape.
I use cut up plastic bags.
Yeah,
because they're stretchy.
Yeah,
like electrician's tape.
Yeah,
I've always used that.
Yeah, you can. There's anything that will wrap around and make a tight seal, and not let air into that cut area. This is important, and wrapping is just a little technique you learn.
Yeah.
There are special rubber bands made for wrapping. There's special wrapping tape sold in garden stores and stuff. But you just wrap that baby up. And then if it's a bare root, if you're doing bench grafting, so you've got this rootstock and you've got this scion all wrapped up and nicely, then you plant it.
Right then and there? Or you could pot it in a, you could put it in a pot.
Yeah, planting in a pot or in the ground.
Okay.
Yeah. But
not back into the fridge.
Yeah, I mean you can put it in the fridge for a bit, but that isn't. You should be ready to plant.
Yeah, okay.
When you do that, because it'll be, everybody will be happy, and then the rootstock will start to grow, the cambium, the callus will start to form, making the connection between the scion wood and the scion and the rootstock, and it should grow.
How long does one leave on the wrap?
Well, depending on what you wrap it with, if you do masking tape, you don't probably have to worry about it because it will eventually break down and fall off. If you use plastic, 30 days is what we typically figure.
See, not very long.
Not very long, but you don't.
You'll know.
You'll know because if the scion doesn't grow, then you're out of luck. So by 30 days, you should have some signs of growth, buds pushing on the scion wood, and then that's a fine time to cut it.
And even if it doesn't take, the rootstock will still be alive, and you can plant it and
do it again.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, not probably this year, but the following year, if you've waited a month.
Yeah, you could have scion wood stored.
If you still had scion wood stored, you can try it again. Okay, that's one way to hedge your bets.
Yeah. But I would really encourage people if they're interested in doing this kind of work, which is really an art. When I first started the nursery, I went to Oregon State and I found a man named Harry Lagerstadt, who was working there. And I asked Harry, "Would you show me how to graft?" And he did.
And I think one of the first people I reached out to was Vern Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
I think he came over and showed me.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is an art.
How he did it.
And this fruit propagation fair is a great place to go to and just, you know, ask somebody to give you, show you how to do it.
And, of course, before you do any of this, just do your homework as to where you're going to plant it.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be planting, a semi-dwarf tree in the city. It's just too tall and it takes too much pruning, and if you want to treat or prevent pests and things like that, got to get up there in those upper branches.
Sure. And you're putting it, planting it in a pot is a way to postpone that decision.
Yeah.
Plant it in your garden for a year, let it grow a year, and then dig it up and retransplant it. So, but you're right. I mean, and of course, by doing the grafting in March, the weather is warm and the callus forms and everything, everything is good.
Okay. Excellent. All right, that's grafting.
That's grafting.
There's other types of grafts, but that's the one that we would use now and recommend for beginners and home gardeners, really.
Yeah, and it it works well, and it makes a nice union, which eventually becomes invisible. And
If you really don't know where the graft is, you just can't tell later on.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And remarkable. this same basic procedure can be used with pears and peaches and cherries and other fruit trees as well. And you have to just make sure you get the right rootstock for what you're going to be grafting.
Okay, well, that will lead us to our garden stumper then.
Mm.
Tidy got our garden stumper theme. It's not the next tune, but that's the word. Okay, that'd be the, I don't know if you've ever, I mentioned it's World Party. It has this little snippet that I took it from. I gave him the order of we were going to do the tunes, but we'll do the garden. Okay, here we are. Our garden stumper. Okay, you don't know any of those things. Well, maybe you do. All right. Well, we've got, since this is our inaugural. Prize for the garden stumper is that we have a two-parter and you have to get both of them to get the prize. And then a prize once again is a sharpening of a garden hand tool, and that could be pruners, loppers, shears, shovels, hose, or maybe a grafting knife. And that is from Coley Farm Store, 4209 Northeast Alberta Street. And if you are the first correct answer, then I'll have you stay on the phone and you can give Ty your name and probably phone number off the air. And you will have, then I'll pass that name along to Farmer Ted, and you will have 6 months from this date to cash in.
And to assure the listeners that this is all above board, neither you nor I are qualified to win this prize.
That's correct. And Ted texted me last night when I said, "Now, you just want to confirm you're all right on this." And he said, "Yeah, but does this mean I can't guess?" I said, "I guess that's right."
Yeah. You can guess all you want, but you can't win the prize.
Okay, so this is right in line with our plant of the month.
Okay, so apple rootstocks, most of the apple rootstocks used for many, many, many years are identified by a letter and a number. And the letter is M. And then they have numbers like 26 and 7 and 111 and 113 and various others. So the garden stumper is, what does M stand for? And the second part is, where is it from?
That's it. Okay. What does the M stand for and where is it from? Right. Okay. If you know the answer to that, 503-231-8187. Okay. Well, we're going to switch gears a little bit here and talk a bit about seed starting and what Jim has been doing overseas. So let's pick up our second tune. Ty, are you ready to jump back into that? I'll give you a little setup here. This is from Willie Dixon. And maybe this doesn't even require any explanation, but, you know, this is February, and this is a special February. And so this Willie Dixon tune is called 29 Ways. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The hall when the going get tough, I got a hole in the wall. Got 29 ways to make it to my baby door.
To my lovely baby door.
She need me bad, I can find about two or three more.
One, two, many more.
I could come through the chimney like Santa Claus, go through the window, and that ain't y'all. A lot of good ways I don't want you to know. I even got a hole in a bedroom door. Got 29 ways to make it to my baby.
Okay, 29 ways. It's a leap year.
Is this a leap year?
It is.
Oh, man. Oh, man, that's very cool.
I was born in a leap year on February 27th.
Wow.
Yeah, Mom just couldn't hold out.
Well, you mentioned February. I just remembered, you know, that on Valentine's Day, it's also Oregon's birthday.
Yes.
So I think that's pretty important.
That's coming up.
Because we have this wonderful state we live in. And someday maybe I'll tell more about some of my thoughts about that. But anyway, that's there we go.
Okay, we have got some phone calls to take here, Jim.
Okay.
I imagine it's from the stumper. What do we got there, Ty? Okay, caller, you got an answer?
Hello, yeah.
Yeah, you do? Okay. What is it?
East Malling Station. I don't know what a station is other than a radio station.
Well, you've heard like of a Coast Guard station.
Well, don't say any more because the first part is perfect.
That's right.
That's right.
Yes, there's a two-part question.
Yes, where's the second?
And, well, I'm guessing it's in England.
You got it right.
You guessed it. All right.
Okay. We need to get a bell.
Hmm?
We need to get a bell so we can ring or something that.
I'm holding the phone pretty close to my ear.
Okay.
Okay, so good job. What's your name?
John.
John. Okay. Well, John, Ty will take your name off the air and then I'll pass that along to Cully Farm Store.
Yeah. I actually had a question about rootstock.
Okay.
If you have time.
Sure.
Okay. Now I gather rootstock off the base of some of my trees. I think it's are those sprouts that come up from the roots, are they, they're the same tree, right?
They're the same rootstock. Yep. In fact, that's how I propagate all my apples now.
Yeah.
I use P22, and the P stands for Poland. That's where this experimental station is.
Okay, I hope you haven't given away next week's.
No, we'll be on to something else.
All right.
And it sends up, root suckers, if you will, and I just pull them up. And there's usually two or three or four little roots on it. And then I pot those up, and they grow, and I graft.
I kind of ask that because I keep all my trees pretty well pruned down, so I wouldn't even know if the rootstock would grow a 26-foot tree or a 9-foot tree or a 7-foot tree or whatever. But
yeah, it doesn't make any difference how you've pruned. It's just what the rootstock says it is, the genetics.
Right on.
All right, John. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. Oh, don't hang up, though. No. Taya's going to get you off the air.
Well,
okay.
Well,
good job.
Yeah.
Good. So East Malling, and then there was an EMLA. That's from another offshoot that they took Mallings, and then some. And the numbers are just, they planted these 100 or 1,000 seeds or whatever.
Yeah, there's I'm sure it was identified as in a row or something. I mean, you know, you can get more precise, but that was a number of that came up.
That was the one.
This is the one. And
so rather than naming it,
and
they just give it a number, which sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good job. Well, let's start talk a little bit about seed starting here, and let you come up for air. There is quite a nice lecture on
grafting
and rootstock. So I appreciate that. Thank you. It's time to begin to start some seeds now. That not very many should be started now because it's kind of early. By the later part of this month, then you can be starting many things. The problem is that it's just too early to put them outside. So if they get too big inside and you don't have the right lighting facility, if you will, it's just going to make a weak start. And I would say the number one problem that we have for seed starters in general is not germinating the seeds. That can happen pretty well. You just give them a little bottom heat. But just lack of a good light source and a windy source, if you will, something to stress those plants. They just become little wusses when they're inside. And, on a window ledge or something like that, they'll just start leaning towards the light. There's no real air currents to toughen their stems. And that is the deal breaker.
Yeah.
If you have a greenhouse, not a problem. Because generally, there's light all the way around. And sometimes there's fans that are going in there. So when I start growing inside, and I used to have a greenhouse, so I didn't have a problem with that. Now I don't. I converted the space where the greenhouse was into a honey house or a honey processing room, if you will. And even so, even though they were in the greenhouse, I would take them out as often as I could, even in March or February if they were big enough for that. So think about that after or before you start your seeds. What am I going to do with them after they get to be an inch or two tall? Or maybe that's spelled T-O-O as well, too, if they get too tall. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. When I see
inch or two.
Inch or two.
Right. An inch or two. Or too tall, right. Yeah, I see. It could have been interpreted either way there.
Yeah, that's right.
But I don't want to discourage you too much in that if you pay attention, if you don't have a lot of starts, then it's possible. You're turning your starts in the windows, put them under a skylight or just brush them several times a day. Brush them, try to mimic wind just something to give them a little spine.
Yeah, the light is the big issue I remember from, you know, because if they're like in a near a window, they will tend, they'll go toward that window light and become leggy and weak. And so if the if you have overhead light in some form, either natural or...
Yeah, you could do that, certainly, too. But still, getting, you know, brushing them or putting a fan on for 5 or 10 minutes or just something to stiffen them up so when they when you do put them outside, they hit the ground running, so to speak. You know, you're kind of starting to harden them off.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a phone call. Victoria. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. Okay, so I have a grafting question as well as an announcement for a seed swap.
Okay.
A friend of mine has an almond tree, and she was wondering if the event in March, will they have grafts or will they have scion wood for almonds?
So she has an almond tree and she wants to propagate?
She wants to put another type of almond on it because she believes that it's blooms, it blooms too early. So she's looking for another type of almond that maybe would bloom later.
Sure. Great. Well, I don't know whether they'll have almond. That's not a common tree in our region. So whether they'll have scion wood at the scion exchange, I'm not sure about. There are some almond varieties that we actually brought in. I actually brought in a number of years ago from Crimea that are later bloomers, and they are available at I'm sure some nurseries in the area, certainly One Green World, and so you could actually purchase a tree of one of those type, but you can't get the wood for grafting because they're it's protected varieties.
Oh, okay.
So and then as far as the for a rootstock for almond, we typically use peach.
Okay.
You know, just it's pretty easy and fast growing and gets a good start and all that. So.
All right.
But that's
well,
what.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So I'd like to announce that in the western communities, about 20 miles from Portland Central, there'll be a sweet seed swap in Forest Grove. And it's going to be put on by Dairy Creek Community Food Web at 1609 Elm Street on Leap Day, which is Saturday, the 29th of February. And there'll be it's free. You don't have to have seeds to attend and participate. There'll be children's activities and expert garden questions answered. The
nice.
Questions can be expert, and the answers hopefully will be expert.
Good.
Are these predominantly vegetable seeds, but not limited to?
It'll be whatever the participants the last 3 years, the people who seed save, such as myself, I'm a great seed saver. I try 3 new varieties every year and winter them over, and then they go to seed, and then I collect them and process them and store them and then bring them to the seed swap every year. It'll be everything,
okay,
basically, but probably mostly vegetables and flowers for bee pollination.
Nice, nice. And what's a website that...
It would be Dairy Creek Community Food Web, but better if the person would email DCC, that's C as in cat, foodweb@google.com. So okay. Again, that's DCC, foodweb@google.com. Our website is under construction.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And that's in Forest Grove on Leap Day.
Yes, and it'll be from 10 to 3 at 1609 Elm Street.
Okay, Victoria, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And have a successful seed swap.
Oh, thank you.
That's always a good, that's a great thing.
Larger every year and more popular every year. So we're going for lots of, you know, good things.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good job. Okay. Let's see. Just a few more things on which seeds to start now, which what I would maybe recommend is cabbage. That's tougher than cauliflower and broccoli. A little too early for those to be out yet. Onions and probably greens could be started inside and maybe even outside, you know, if it gets somewhat protected and whatnot. Okay, well, our last musical break here, Jim has already kind of discovered the link here in that I was telling my wife that, you know, I had this theme going and I needed one more. And she said, what about Valentine's Day? And I said, well, where am I going to find any songs about love? But then it occurred to me that, yes, indeed, Valentine's Day is Oregon's birthday. Mm-hmm. And so I just have always really liked the beginning of this Steely Dan song, where he makes reference to that he crossed his old man back in Oregon.
Hmm.
So that's the connection here, but don't take me alive. Okay, just a little bit of Steely Dan there. From the fifth album, I believe. The Royal Scam.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's what I feel like. Okay, well, that brings me right to what's annoying me this month. And I have had the opportunity to attend many concerts, orchestral concerts, from the Oregon Symphony to my wife is part of a couple of orchestras herself. And wherever I've gone on these for the last, you know, I'll just say in the last 2 months, and there have been plenty. It's always, always a standing ovation.
Hmm.
And I just feel like there's standing ovation inflation. I would not want these people judging the Olympic gymnastic events because they'd be giving tens to everybody. And I think that it's just annoying.
Yeah.
All right, that's on my mind.
Well, let me tell you quickly what's annoying Jim. We just took this airplane flight overseas flight, and I've had pretty good luck ordering special meals because generally we call ourselves pescatarians. We eat seafood, don't eat red meat. So to ensure having a good meal, we order a special meal, right? So on this one flight, the airline apparently thought that a vegetarian doesn't need protein. So what we got was rice and potatoes and nothing and just a little bit of lettuce salad. And while other people were having, the people who didn't order a special meal got wonderful macaroni and cheese and, you know, pasta, different and all sorts of other things on the side. And so I canceled the special meal on the return trip and thoroughly enjoyed the vegetarian regular meal.
Okay.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be annoying too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, then what you can plant outside, when to plant what outside, we'll get into this more next month here, but it's way too early for any of the warm season crops. Tomatoes, squash, peppers, eggplant, no. You can start those towards the end of February, but don't be putting them out in March. Even when the tomatoes are available in garden stores, that's annoying. Don't plant them.
But you can, but planting bare root fruit trees.
Oh, yes, yes. That, yeah, yeah. I'm talking about vegetables.
I know. I had to add that, you know.
Okay.
Plant your bare root trees. Get them out there. The better.
And I just transplanted some raspberry starts in. Mm-hmm. There were some that were outside the row. I had a little bare spot, so I transplanted them in. Mm-hmm. Even though they're budding out, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool enough.
Okay, yeah.
Perfect.
Right. We got some rain on the way. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, did you visit any fruit-related things in Germany and Switzerland?
Well, I always have that funny saying, you know, about bear in the woods thing. I mean, you're asking me a question like that.
I know about bears in the woods and what they do.
Right. So, yes, of course. But
what about Los Angeles?
Of course, too.
Oh, okay.
a little less in Los Angeles because there was some family stuff, too.
All right. Well, yeah. We've got a few minutes left here.
Yeah. So we went to Germany first on our most recent trip. It was a short trip, but our goal in Germany was to go to the IPM show, which is probably the world's biggest horticultural exhibition.
IPM meaning Integrated Pest Management or something else?
I don't know
else?
What it actually stands for, but it's in Essen, Germany, and I believe it's amazing where the hotel room was twice as or maybe three times as expensive as it would be if it wasn't during the show. It was incredible
how expensive it was. Surge pricing.
Oh, crazy. But the show was huge, and it was really kind of overwhelming. It was a little slightly frustrating because this is Germany, right? This is not the U.S., so the things we saw there were not available in the U.S., the plants.
Okay.
And it wasn't all fruit. It was a lot of ornamental plants, too. But there were a lot of fruit nurseries there from all over Europe and Eastern Europe as well. And that was great to see that. And some things they were doing we're not doing here, so it's always good to go and learn, get some different ideas. About
which is a good argument for going to, you know, gardening shows.
Yes.
Not so much the home improvement shows, but...
Right. Gardening shows
are great. Home improvement are fine for home improvement, but not so much for gardening is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was neat. And then we also met up with it was a little bit of a reunion. We met up our very good friend from Italy came to the show. So we got to talk with her and spend some time with her, and then also two friends from South Korea were there.
Hmm.
So
with the sole purpose of meeting you, or
no, we were all going to the show. Meeting each other. So plus, then we had there was a nursery in Germany and Switzerland called Lubera, Lubera, that's very large, and the owner of that is another good friend. And so we all traveled together from Germany to Switzerland.
And what did you do there?
Well, in Switzerland, we visited his nursery and saw what they were doing there, talked a lot about different plant material. There's some things we are cooperating with them on, in particular the Red Love apples, which are red-fleshed apples. That he's a breeder as well, and he brought those into the U.S., through the quarantine system, so they're patented varieties, but they're really good. I mean, we drank Red Love apple juice, which is it's red apple juice, and very flavorful,
and this apple is called Love.
They're called the brand name is Red Love.
Okay,
a registered trademark, and then there's three varieties: Calypso, Odisso, and Era, as I recall, if I recall that correctly. And we're growing those varieties, and they are available at One Green World.
Are they going to be available? Well, this is not the fruit tasting, but will they be available at fruit tasting in October?
It's possible.
Because
we have older trees that are now bearing, so that would be fun to do.
Yeah, maybe bring some into the dirt bag for tasting.
Yeah. What an idea, Glenn. So that was a very interesting journey.
Yeah.
Short but sweet.
So it's kind of a bear number one in the woods. What am I saying here? Okay, with that, look at that. We're out of time.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's Jim Gilbert telling me about bears in the woods there. And you'll be here next month?
I think
4 weeks from today.
We'll
be there.
We're going to New Zealand at the end of March. But
okay, you'll be back then for that. Okay, this is Glenn Andreessen. That's our story. Thanks for listening. Jump!
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Next up, we have Jazz Lives.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
This year, we're reporting out more data than we ever have reported before. And in addition to that, we have paper trails that we've never had before. And so we're going to take the time we need to verify these results, but these results are being based off what happened in the precincts last night.
Iowa Democratic Party Chair Troy Price addressed reporters ahead of yesterday's late release of some of the results from Monday night's long-awaited Iowa Democratic caucuses. The paper trail preference cards have to get into Des Moines from each of the state's 1,681 precincts, where party officials hand-verify the votes. The app couldn't handle the three sets of numbers, results of the first round of the caucuses, the second, and then how many delegates each candidate will get.
We're going to walk out of here with our share of delegates. We don't know exactly what it is yet, but we feel good about where we are.
All those who shared the most recent debate stage will get some delegates. With just over a third left of precincts to report, former Vice President Joe Biden was in fourth place, behind former South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, and Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, but that could all change. The Wisconsin Examiner's Ruth Conniff commented on the significance of Iowa's results.
There's only 41 delegates in Iowa, so it's not going to be a big deal as far as the actual delegate count for the candidates. But